Mother's Day, we're in this series called True Stories. We're looking at different stories that people saw, and they wrote them down. They end up in the Bible. They're eyewitnesses to them. And today we're going to take a look at a story about a woman named Naomi. She's a mom, and she's in a bad situation that she needs God to turn into a good situation, which is the word redemption. The stories of redemption are all through the Bible, the things that people wrote down about God. Redemption. Redemption is when you take a bad situation, God gets in the middle of a bad situation and turns it into a good situation. Doesn't just eliminate the bad, actually turns it into good. Now, Naomi has got to go through a process for that to happen. It's the big idea in your notes. Write it down. God has to change what she believes about herself. Now here's something, what I believe will always show up in how I live. What I believe, you know, it shows up in my behavior, how I treat people, always shows up in how I live. And Naomi is in a tight spot, and she's not even the reason she's in a tight spot. But she's developed some beliefs about her bad situation that God has to change. It's not even her fault, the bad situation. Let me read something to you. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpha and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. So here's the backstory. Where this family had lived goes through a huge economic crisis. Think 2008. That's what's going on. There's no jobs. Money's tight. There's bills to be paid, and there's no money. And so her husband gets this idea to move the whole family to another country to take a job. Maybe during that time you had some people move out of Utah or move into Utah. Some people moved away because they had to take a job. That's what's going on. His idea is we're all going to move to a completely different country because I can find work there. Now the problem is the country that he wants to move to and take the family to doesn't like the country that he's from. So think about like if you're moving to Cuba. You know, great cigars, but they don't like you. And that's where he takes the family. And then to make matters worse, her husband dies. I don't know how he dies. All of a sudden, he's gone. And just about when she starts to get some traction, both of her sons die. And now she doesn't have any men in her family. She has two new daughters in a country that's not her own, that doesn't like her. And she starts to develop some thoughts. There's something that happens in life, at least a vicious cycle that I get into. I have a bad circumstance, and it creates some kind of negative thinking, which seems to create more bad circumstances, and it just goes around and around and around. And that's where she's at. And God has to get in the middle of it and break it. He has to change the way she thinks to redeem it. Because redemption means this: God can take a bad situation and turn it into a good situation. If you came today and you're in a tight spot, you're facing something that's way more powerful than you, you're scared. Great day to come to church. Because no matter how bad it is, redemption means God could turn it into something good. But you may have to change some of the ways you think. Let's look at some of the stuff that happened to her. Check this out. Number one, God doesn't want to use me to do anything important. That's her big sentence that she says to herself. God doesn't want to use me to do anything important, bad situation. I want to show you this really super cool video. It's a woman that's been deployed. She's in the military. She hasn't seen her family or her son for nine months, and she wants to surprise him. Great Mother's Day. Check this out. You watch that and you think, well, gosh, how could any woman or mom? Sorry, I'm having a little girl moment. Oh, every time I see that. How can any woman or mom struggle with how important they are? But they do. But women have a very different road than men do in our culture, our society. They have to wonder how much they have to do to be promoted. They have to wonder how much authority they'll be able to get. Women have to wonder, how much extra do I have to do if I'm going to be able to, you know, get a position of authority or get to do something important? And if you're a man here today, and you don't think that a woman's road is different than yours, wake up. Because it is different than yours. And it's easy for women to feel like, you know, nothing important is going to happen with me. And that's where Naomi is. Let me read this little bit to her. Here she is talking. "Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's more bitter for me than you because the Lord's hand has turned against me." Crazy. It's like when you have a dream in your life that you wanted to have happen so bad and it doesn't happen, it hurts so bad that you think God doesn't care about you. There's some dream, and the dream probably went like this for her. It's like, okay, I'm going to follow my husband. We're going to do this thing, and we're going to get over there, and we'll make a bunch of money, and we'll dodge a bullet. And you know, she got hit by the bullet. Now 3 members of her family are gone. She didn't get to go home with a bunch of money and, you know, make the house payment. She didn't get to go home and enjoy the grandkids. It didn't work. Sometimes dreams don't. Sometimes people wreck our dreams, or bad things happen that are unexplainable, and all of a sudden you're hurting so bad. When I hold on to a dream that I want so desperately, but I know it isn't going to happen, it just gets more and more and more painful. And I don't think God cares about me. How could he possibly live? I think he's against me. That's where she's living. And her daughters, they must see some great potential in her. They're like, we want to be with you. We're willing to leave our families and our country, and we'll go with you, Naomi. We're going to be with you. We want a bright future. We think whatever you're dreaming, we're dreaming. And here's the thing. They can see a new dream, a redemptive dream for Naomi, but Naomi can't see it because she won't let go of the old dream. Have you ever had a dream you wanted it so bad and you know it's not going to happen? Like, I had to face, I'm never going to get drafted in the first round in the NBA. That was a hard dream to let go of. Every draft day, I wait at my house for the phone to ring. Never does. You know? Do you have any dreams that you really, 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 really wanted to see happen, and now you know it's not going to happen, but you still haven't let go? And so you can't see the new dream that God has for you. On this Mother's Day, anybody in your family, or do you need to hear this? What dream are you still holding on to and you know it's not going to happen, but it is so difficult to let go of it? It's keeping you. I can hold on so tightly that even the pain won't make me let go. And I miss the good new dream that will redeem the old dream. What dream do you need to let go of so you can see the new dream that will redeem the old dream? Now, number 2, ways of thinking, things that happen, write in your notes. God doesn't want to use anything important. Number 2, maybe I'm bitter, but it's God's fault. So the first one is, okay, you know, God's not going to use me to do anything important. Number 2 is, maybe I'm bitter, but it's God's fault. I love Sour Patch Kids, so I like sour candy and everything, but I know this bitterness will wreck my heart. And I know that. Let me read to you. But she told them, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Naomi means pleasant, Mara means bitter. For Almighty God has dealt me a bitter blow. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty. Why should you call me Naomi when the Lord has turned his back on me and sent such calamity?" Crazy. Maybe she's thinking back of, her husband. She's like, "I told him we shouldn't go to that country. I tried to explain it to him. You know, he said we had to go, and so I decided to go, and the whole thing's wrecked." And do you know Mother's Day is a time set aside every year that's a great time to forgive your husband for any mistakes he made, anything he said it was going to, "We're going to get the fifth wheeler and it's going to be great, we're going to go camping and everything," and you never do, and now you're selling it for a 50% loss. And you're like, so every Mother's Day is a chance to just step back and just say, "You know, my husband proves that everybody's born a sinner." and makes mistakes, and nobody's perfect. And on this Mother's Day, I'm going to forgive him for his mistakes. Because if you don't, you become bitter. And bitterness grows and grows and grows. And every Mother's Day is an opportunity for husbands and boyfriends to go to your spouse and admit you're wrong. 5 words. Every year, it's a great time. A five-word gift. I was wrong. I'm sorry. That's a great Mother's Day gift. Every year, it's a chance to go to your wife and say, I was wrong about Cuba. What a screw up. Every year. Because what it does is it keeps the bitterness out of our relationships. We'll make mistakes. We'll sin. We'll have problems. We'll let each other down. But bitterness is our choice. Because we can get rid of it by admitting it and saying we're sorry and confessing and being forgiven. And Naomi has to learn that. And she does what a lot of women do. She's blame shifting. She's like, she doesn't want to blame her husband and all that, so she decides to blame God, and which isn't an easy target for blame. She targets God for the blame because, like, you know everything. You're all powerful. If you want my life to, you know, be terrible, then, you know, who might argue with you, God? So she targets God with all of the blame. Blame shifting. The problem is for Naomi, if God is the target, he can't be the healer. See, that's the problem. The problem for her is if he's the target and he's the one that caused it all and he could have done so much better and everything, if he's the target of the whole thing, then he can't be my healer. And she's really taking this like a long ways, this girl. I mean, she wants to change her name to bitterness. Now, let's be honest for a second. We have all met women, had friends and people in our family that are so tore up by life. It's like Naomi wants her badge to be bitterness. We have all met women that they wear a different badge. But it's not the word bitter. My wife said I couldn't say it in church today, so I'm not going to, but I found some bumper stickers. So let me show you those. There's one right there. I got another bumper sticker too. Check this one out. I like that one the most. We've all met women that's sort of like how they show up. That's just how they announce themselves. That's who they say they are. That's what's happening in this story. She's so hurt. She's so discouraged. God is against me. Nothing's going to turn out. Nothing important is going to happen. She said, I'm going to change my name. I'm just going to announce to everyone. I'm going to just let everybody know. You know, we've all seen those girls before and women before that's the badge that they wear. And every Mother's Day is an opportunity to call them up or go find them or get them at work and say, I don't believe that about you. No, you're not. And by the way, this is not a license I'm going to tell all the men right now. Like the next time you get in a fight with your wife or your girlfriend and like you say to them, you know, don't put on the bitch badge, I'm just going to warn you, like, don't do that. It's like, don't do that at all. Because you will not like what happens next. In fact, I don't think you should ever say that to your wife. If you have, I think it's a good Mother's Day to say, I'm sorry. She's not a female dog. And if someone has said that to you, this is your day to be healed. This is your day for the grace of God to come into your heart and tell you, you're God's daughter. He cherishes you. He designed you. He loves the way you look. He loves the heart that you have, your personality. Each of us have a great opportunity to tell women all the time. Because there are women, that's where they go. That's where Naomi wants to go. She wants to put this badge on. Just write me off and know that this is where I'm at. You know how it is with girls like that. Like, stay back, man. You will not like what comes, you know, and they just push everybody away. And we get an opportunity to just go to them and say, that's not how I see you at all. That's not who you are on the inside. And it can be a real problem. Because you can get to the place when you target God like that, And you know, you're the reason I'm targeting you, which now you can't go to him to heal you. Unless, and here's what Naomi has to learn, God can be the target and the healer. I got this clip from a movie called Mona Lisa Smile. And it's Women's Day today. And I want to show you this clip because it's this fantastic example of what I'm talking about, target and healer. It's a room of girls talking. They're all friends. And one girl dates married men. Everybody knows it. She dates married men. And another girl who hasn't been married very long, their friends, has recently found out that her husband is cheating on her. Not with her friend, but cheating on her. And check this out.
Perfect. Romantic. We stayed up all night talking.
You're late. What happened to Sunday brunch?
We stayed up all night, too. Not talking.
The psychoanalyst. Again.
Divine exhaustion.
He's married.
He's not married like you and Tommy are married.
What does that mean?
It means he and his wife don't speak the same language.
Spelled S-E-X.
Does he pay you? For sex? I mean, at the rate you're going, you could make a fortune.
Betty.
Everyone thinks so. Do you know what they say? They say you're a whore. Pretty soon, once they've all sampled you, they'll toss you aside like a used rag.
Betty, stop now!
The men you love don't even want you. Your father doesn't want you.
I'm gonna meet you downstairs.
Professor Dunbar!
Betty, that's enough!
Yeah. Everybody knows you hide outside his house! It must be torturous running after a man who doesn't care about you, who's in love with someone else, who hates you. He hates you,
Betty.
And it hurts! Ah, get off of me! Get quiet!
Get off!
Now, that's a powerful example of someone that was able to be the target and the healer. But that's just a person. God can do that consistently, perfectly, every time. And Naomi has to learn that. She has to learn that when you're super, super bitter, you can take all that bitterness to God and you can even start with blaming him. Why did this happen to me? Why did this have to, you know, not turn out like I thought the dream would be? Whatever your story is. And at the same time, he can be the healer. She has to learn that. Because if you target God for the blame, but you can't see him as the healer, you get more and more bitter and you have nowhere to go. And she learns she does have somewhere to go. And I hope you will too. Number three, changes that has to happen in the way she thinks, right? I can enjoy my life until my family gets it all together. A lot of women fall into this one because, you know, women have such a strong bond with their families. And there's such a fine line between loving my family and wanting my family to do good and be successful and be healthy, and the fine line between just caring and loving them and being codependent, that I can't be okay unless they are. What the psychiatrists all call codependency is like, my life can't be okay. That's where she's at. She's like, my life cannot be okay because look at my family. Like, there's no way for... And one of the things she has to learn, and a lot of moms do, is that you can have joy and enjoy your life even during the times that your family is a mess. Or your life is a mess. We started the sermon with a comedian named Jim Gaffigan, and a pretty popular comedian. And him and his wife had been through a huge thing this last year. She had a brain tumor. And he said it was the size of a pear. It was a serious thing for them. They have like five kids. So all of a sudden, life is not funny anymore for them But they're both Christ followers, and she has a tremendous amount of faith, and she's trying to figure this whole thing out, family, God, catastrophe, bad situation. And I wanted you to see it. You'll hear him, and then you'll see his wife talking about it. So check this out.
Crazy year for me, crazy year. I don't know if you know, in April, it was discovered my wife had a brain tumor. I'm not even making this up. It was removed, she's great, everything's good. Thank you. I didn't remove it. I was in the other room soiling myself, but the tumor is gone, along with my ability to ever win another argument. It's not like I was winning a lot before, but now I'm retired.
What has that meant to you in your faith journey to have something like this happen? And to have something scary like this happen, where I think some people, it would be tempting to maybe say, why did you allow this to happen? But there's the opportunity to look at it and say that you were really healed, you know, and where are you at in all that?
I mean, I don't want to like boast or brag or anything about my faith because there's a challenge waiting around every corner. I mean, and we need to be prepared for it. I'm not like, woo, I'm glad I got that over with. Now no more tragedies gonna happen.
That's
in my life.
Your one thing, yeah.
That's my one thing. How my faith played a role in this is when I got this diagnosis, and it was the big unknown was like, we don't know if I'm gonna live, and if I do, we don't know what I'm not gonna be me anymore. Yeah. You wanna be like, okay, I want the best doctors, I want answers, I wanna know exactly what's gonna happen. But the truth is we never do. So I think that how my faith right away played a role in this whole story was that right away I just said, I just was talking to God. Like we all do. We even were like, God, why don't you give me that parking spot? Even if you have that kind of like metaphysical reality where you just talk to God all the time, like I do, when these kind of things happen, it wasn't like, okay, God, he gave me this brain tumor and I'm going to just say yes. It was more like, okay, here's the thing. This is coming down. I don't know what's going to happen, but here's what I would like, if it be your will. Survive, be able to raise my kids, and if I'm that mom with that half of the face, fine, because I'll just be that mom with the half of the face. I already have a husband, so, you know.
You're set.
I'm set. So, but I just want to live. The conversation continued with God because I felt like that I needed to use this experience in some way to change the world. And it might be just the world right in front of me, or it might be just my kids. All of us, even if we're sailing through life right now, are going to have a health crisis with a parent, with a loved one, God forbid a child. There's going to be something that is challenging to our faith and to our existence. And who and what are we going to have in that moment? Who's going to be there for us? Because if we just say, well, you know, it's going to be my husband, we're going to be let down, because it's people, humans can be there as much as possible, but you need something more. And I need to let everyone know that if I did not have my spirituality in this situation, I would be lost.
Yeah, who or what am I going to have? And especially when it comes to family, just talking to all the girls for a minute, you don't have to even be a mom. You know what it's like to be in your family. It could be your sister, your auntie, it could be a cousin. And when your family goes through something, it's almost like it's inside you. You can feel it. And it really hurts. And I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. It might even be an advantage. Because the who understands. He gets that he can put his arm around you and all of your family at the same time. You can still enjoy life and at the same time watch and hurt and contribute and do everything you can and be healthy. See, and there's this great sort of a redemptive moment that's going to start for this family. Naomi, she's finally starting to get it. Well, I am a girl, and it doesn't seem like God would do anything important with me, but he can. And I can let go of the old dream because I can see that God has a new dream. And that old dream, I wanted it so bad. The new dream can be a good that somehow redeems it. And now with my family, listen what happens. It's the last part. She says, may the Lord bless him. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, the Lord is still being kind to those who are living and those who are dead. The man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers. Here's how the story sort of comes to an end. She does go home with one of her new daughters. Yeah, daughter-in-laws. I have daughter-in-laws. I think of them like new daughters. And she goes home, and one of her new daughters catches the eye of one of her distant relatives. And this guy's got bank. He's got a lot of money. He's a good dude. And he ends up marrying her new daughter, Ruth. And everything's changed. All the debt is paid off. They have a place to live. They have stature. It's all returned very, very quickly. It is redeemed. Just like that. And she's in a completely different place now. On Mother's Day, the story is very simple. God can take a bad circumstance and situation and turn it into a good circumstance and situation. And here's the bottom line. Write it in your notes. God never gives up on a happy ending. Let me read it to you. So Boaz, he's the good dude, took Ruth into his home and she became his wife. When he had slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant. Circle that. I just want to drop it into your heart how God's involved in all that. Enables her to become pregnant. In our culture, sex is little more than recreation awful times. Don't forget there's babies attached. God enables her to become pregnant. You're not an accident. I don't care if somebody was out in the back of some 57 Chevy and didn't even think they'd get pregnant. God knew and enabled you to be here. If there's anything in your past that you dismiss or you look at and you think, well, maybe someone said to you, I never wanted you, or you're an accident. God did. He had it all planned out. He enables her to get pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord who has provided a redeemer. There's the word. Bad situation becomes a good one for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. And he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Crazy. The father of King David, the mighty killer of giants. She raised his great grandpa. And that is what is redemption. Bad situation? Awesome situation.